Shul Tula, right? I think that's the last thing. I don't think we started
need,
right?
Need a kasher to tie.
Oh, that was the last thing I said. Okay. All right. So the Gemara tells us the whole list of Halacha Moshe Mesinai in the Chestilin. Kesher Shul Tula and Halacha Moshe Mesinai. There is actually a Machlekes that we've shown him. Is the Gemara only referring to the Tefillin Shul Rosh, or is the Gemara even referring to the Tefillin Shul Yad? So Lamaisa, we make a kesher for both of them. But according to some Rishonim, the Ik of Kesha that the Gemara is referring to is the Kesha Shel Rosh. So what exactly does that mean, that the Kesha Shel Rosh is a Halacha Moshe Mesinai? So this was a major machlokes. So there are many Rishonim who say that the Kesha has to have a very, very specific tzura. It has to look in a very, very specific way. It has to resemble an Os Dalet. And not all Rishonim accept that. Some Rishonim say that it has to be a Kesha. That'll be officially a kasher, but it doesn't love dafka. It has to be any particular tzura of dalet. So adminig is, of course, we make it look like a dalet, but there are different minhagim as to how exactly it looks like a dalet. So the simplest minig is that it looks mamash looks like a dalet. You take a look at the back and you see it looks like a dalet. Then there's what we call the double dalet. So the double dalet is it looks more like a square, like a box. So that's also supposed to resemble two dalets next to each other. So there are different minhagim. Other minhagim that I make the dalet. So the mice, whatever the minhag is, one should do. Mishnah Berurah prefers the single dalet. We call it the single dalet. He thinks that's the more authentic dalet. Rav is quoted as saying that even though in most areas of halacha one should follow what their minhag of the family is, so the Rav thought that this was one of the examples that a person changed their family minhag. He said even if the father and the grandfather had a double dalet, he thought that it's more correct to make a single dalet. Mishnah Berurah doesn't come down that hard on it, but whatever. One doesn't have any preference in any way whatsoever, so clearly one should be trying to look towards the minhag of a single dalet. Okay, that was just the shirayim, a little bit of the ma'aseh of tefillin. I want to really move on to today to speak a little bit more about the mitzvah hanochas tefillin itself. So we spent the last 5 weeks trying to talk about a heftz of tefillin. So we got the parashas, we got the bach, we got the pesukos, we're all ready to roll. Now we have to figure out what in the world are we supposed to be doing with our tefillin. So the first thing we're supposed to be doing with that tefillin is we're supposed to be tying the tefillin on. So there was a major machlekes and rishonim. How do you translate that word? Ukshatam liyosei yadecha. What exactly is supposed to do? So Teisus Maseches Chulin quotes a machlekes between Rabbeinu Eliyahu and Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Eliyahu, one of the Bali Teisus said that ukshatam means that you have to tie it. Every single day, the mitzvah tefillin requires that you mamish make a kesher. So you have to come to shul real in the morning, because you have to put your tzuah into your bias, put it onto your arm, and then make yourself a kesher. Then you got to take your shorosh, you got to put it through, and learn how to make your kesher really, really quickly, and try to get to davening on time. That was Rabbi Eliyahu Shita. So we say, Baruch Hashem, we don't follow. People have enough time getting to davening on time without finding Rabbi Eliyahu. So Rabbi Eliyahu says, Lo chayu devar v'yelim. Many times it never does such a thing that you have to tie a kesher. Every single day, that's what Ukshadam Yosei Adecha means that you have to tighten a pre-existing kesher. The sefer makes the kesher one time before your bar mitzvah, and then it lasts for the next 50 years. That's what kesher on tefillin means. So we unequivocally paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. Nobody today that I know follows the view of Rabbeinu Eliyahu. One of the rayas that Rabbeinu Tam has against Rabbeinu Eliyahu is the Gemara says at the end of Maseches Erevin that tying tefillin on Shabbos is an issur d'oraisa. Gemara's whole discussion, if you find a pair of tefillin on the floor on Shabbos, so you want to try to get them in. You can't, there's no Erev, so you can't carry. On the other hand, you don't want to leave them around. They're going to get sold, they're going to get lost. So the Gemara's all kind of kunzim. How you're allowed to wear them, not allowed to wear them. In the middle of that sugi, the Gemara says, one thing you can't do is if they're not connected to the Ritzuah, you can't make a tie. Keshel tefillin is that's a kesher gomor. So ask Rabbeinu Tam, if Rabbeinu Eliyahu is right, the derech ha'edlam is to tie and untie your tefillin every single day, that should be a classic kesher she'en ha'shon chayama. That's the ultimate temporary kavanah, which is in fact not a nisa deraisa. That was Rabbeinu Tam's rai against Rabbeinu Eliyahu. So the Mordechai quotes that the answer to that question is that no, this is different. The Torah calls it a kesher. Even though you're right, it's temporary. But Mendeva Mamurim is a distinction between permanent and temporary knots. Those are things which are not objectively not. So I'm trying to be done. Is this sail is not a knot? Is this shoelace a knot? Is this tie a knot? Is this garchla a knot? So it depends on what the derech ha'ilam is. If people leave it for a long time, then it becomes a kasher knot. Then it doesn't necessarily become a kasher. But if the Torah screams out and says, Ukshayatam leel seyedecha, does a kasher? No, sorry. Rav Arshon said the kasher. I don't think so. I don't think it's really a kasher. So the Torah is machshiv, the Torah calls it a kasher. So it's chayiv, even though it's going to be only around for a couple of minutes. It doesn't matter. Torah achshiv a kasher. So whatever the answer to Rabbi Eliyahu is, lemaisa, we don't pass like it anyway. You pass it, lech lemaisa, you don't have to tie your tefillin every single day. But what you have to do with your tefillin on, with your tefillin, is you have to put them in the right place. So let's see if we can figure out what does yadecha mean, is what does benenecha mean. So the word yadecha, so the Tosha Bapeh is very quick to tell us, does not mean on your hands, it means on your upper part of your arm. That's considered to be the yad. Which yad are we referring to? So the Gemara tells us it refers to the, what?
Yad
keh. The Gemara says it refers to the weaker of the two arms. That's what the Gemara explains, that if a person is a righty, you put the tefillin on your left hand. If you're a lefty, you put the tefillin on your right hand. If you're ambidextrous, you shove b'shnei yodav, then you're treated, you follow the row. Most people are righties, and therefore you put tefillin on like a righty, eye on your left hand. So that's a given in the Gemara, that's the b'poshut, that you put tefillin on your weaker arm. What is unclear is, how exactly do you determine which is your weaker arm? Life is not always black and white. Sometimes, a lot of people you have who are a little bit of hybrids. That means they do some things with their right hand, some things with their left hand. They throw a ball one way, they bat the other way, they brush their teeth one way, they hammer nails the other way, they write one way. So who is this guy? What is he exactly? Is he a right? Is he a lefty? So there was a major machlokes in Rishonim, and then a major machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, what the final psak should be. How exactly do you determine, how do you establish whether a person is a righty or a person is a lefty? So the Ramah quotes those Rishonim who say that everything depends upon writing, that if a person writes with their right hand, so then they're a righty. They write with the left hand, then they're a left. Doesn't matter how they throw balls, how they bat, how they eat. Nothing else matters. Everything is nikva based on a righty. And the Gra quotes other Rishonim will say it's not true, that it depends on rov. Like, well, all the years of halacha, why should writing be special more than anything else? It all depends on what a person does rov as malachtoi. So you have a lot of people who can write one way, and if they do everything else the other way. So the Gra says you follow what rov malachtoi is. So this machlekes haacharonu, this machlekes harishonim, was probably machlekes in the Gemara itself, because the Gemara is different b'kairos. But how do we know with the Tarshish b'chsav that tefillin are put on dafka on the weaker hand? Some of the kairos that the Gemara quotes seem to point in the direction that ksiva is important, and other b'kairos seem to point in the direction ksiva is not so important. So it's probably an age old machlekes. Could be machlekes at Tanoim, Amoraim. For sure, it's machlekes harishonim. For sure, it's machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. So how we know, eh? So the tricky is the Ramon, the Gra. So the Ramon writes that the Minhag HaOlam is like him. He's right. The Minhag HaOlam, most people, I think, follow the Ramon. Rabbi Willick suggested that maybe Bizman HaZeh, it could be that the Gra may end up by default almost following the Ramon also for the following reason. That when the Gra speaks about Rav Malachdoi, the Gemara, the Rishonim talking about Rav Malachdoi, so they were talking about a society that people used to do a lot of physical work. So people, you know, people were shoveling, people were carrying, people were doing all kind of physical things. So most people today are not doing those kinds of things. Most people today work part computers, they work in offices, they don't do so much physical things anymore. So there are differences that you have to check with the physical therapist, the occupational therapist will tell you about this. There's strength and there's dexterity. There are certain tasks that we do that require strength. To throw a ball or something, and there are other things that require dexterity. It means you need the ability to be able to move your fingers, be able to move, you know, fine motor movement, coordination, gross motor movement, not exactly all the physical terms. But there are certain activities that require more of a brute force, and others that require more of just a finesse of dexterity. So generally speaking, the writing is more of a dexterity, and therefore, most of the time, if the person writes with one hand, that'll probably be the hand that he's going to use, let's say, to brush his teeth. That very often will be the hand he'll use to cut his meat with, because those kinds of tasks usually follow the same part of the brain. Every once in a while, you find a guy who's a total troll, the guy's got it's a flagon. But very often, you'll find that you have a personal split, that his strong, you know, his quote-unquote stronger hand will be one hand, but his more dexterous hand, whatever that word is, will be the other hand. So in the olden days, when people did a lot of brute force, strength kinds of things, very often there would be a discrepancy between the hand that he's writing with and the hand that he's using to hammer in, you know, things into the wall or something. Whereas Bizman HaZeh, when people are not doing such brute, people are not so strong anymore, people are doing much more dexterous kinds of things, it may end up that the right hand that you're writing with may end up to be the equivalent of Rav Malachdoi of Bizman HaZeh. So that's an interesting suggestion that would almost like mitigate the machlokes a little bit. You'll have a lot more people today. If you go with that Hagdah of Rav Willing, you have a lot more people today who are not subject to this machlokes. Otherwise, you tell a kid when he's 13, well, according to half the Rishonim, you're not really yet too. So it's a little bit funny. There are some posts people had this idea, maybe you should put on twice. You should put on tefillin on one and then the end of the davening, slip it onto the others. So there are some people who do that. Most poskim didn't say that, but there were some poskim who had that idea. So anyway, anyone who has these kinds of shailas about writing one hand and doing the other hand should speak to Rav before the Bar Mitzvah to try to get some kind of clarity as to what the correct psak should be. Okay, so again, so you have to put the tefillin on your arm, and the arm means the top part of the arm, not the bottom part of the arm. It has to be on your dafka, on your weaker arm. Where precisely on the arm must it be placed? So the Gemara speaks about on the muscle. So what does it mean on the muscle? So a little experimentation over here. So l'chora, the muscle means kishmai kenu, like the Rishonim described the basra tafuach, like the swollen part of your arm. So yeah. Over here, this is not really the muscle yet. Even though it's like past the elbow, it's the upper half of my arm, but there's nothing growing here yet. When you go over here, so you see, spinach, you see, as the arm started to go up, the muscle started to go up, that's the basra tafuach. And then eventually, when you get all the way up to to the bottom, it kind of slips down again. So the basra tafuach that seems to give you a pretty large area, even like a chabadnik tefillin. So you got a lot of room there. The only problem is there are some rishonim who say that you have to put tefillin on in the bottom half of the zeroah. So you can't stick it all the way up the top of the muscle. It's got to be in the bottom half of the arm. You got to make a line from your elbow to your armpit, your shoulder, exactly where. You draw a line, and the whole tefillin, HaKobiyoko, has to be in the bottom half. So that already starts to get a little bit levitic, because if you follow that chumrah, so then you don't want to put your tefillin too low, because if you put your tefillin too close to the elbow, then you're bamishna. You answer with anybody. It's not the basra tafuach. It's bechlal too low. On the other hand, if you keep on pushing it back a little bit, so then you may end up losing the top part of your tefillin, maybe above the halfway mark. So where did this whole halfway mark come from? It's very unclear where it came from, but Lamais, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam both quoted. The Vilna Gaon says, that everyone misunderstood. It says in the Shemusha Rabba, and it's not what Shemusha Rabba meant, the whole thing is L'hoyot V'amiyot, but the Mechaber and the Rambam quoted. So our approach to this shayla is like this, that sometimes you have a big problem. If it's a little bar mitzvah kids, the kid's whole arm is like this big, and he's got this tremendous tefillin. So we always tell them, Shavur quotes, we always tell the person, it's better to err on the side of higher than lower, because if you're going too low, if you're going mamish way below the muscle, then you're not going to get to court to anybody. If as long as you're on the muscle, so even if you end up being a little bit too high, so at least according to the Gro, and probably the Ikra did, the Chashuk Arayis, he thinks the Ikra did like the Gro, and forget the whole Chumrah, but it's better to always have a little bit higher rather than a little bit lower. It's safer to have it a little bit higher. So again, those who are able to, that's why some people like a little bit smaller tefillin for that reason, to be able to try the cheshbin a little bit. It gets a little tricky. How exactly do you cheshbin where the muscle starts? So if you keep your arm like this, the muscle starts lower. If you start to move it up, it starts to move a little bit higher. So they quote from, I think, Rabbi Yashma, the post, would say that the muscle technically starts the way it does, even in the arm in a relaxed position. So it's fairly low down here, so you have a little bit more room to maneuver. Because Bracha gave me a special bracha, he gave me a dot over here. So that way I know, once I hit that dot, I'm too high up, and he's planted it just perfectly. Right. Went to Mechavers, right smack in the middle of my arm. Anyway, so try not to drive yourself crazy, put on the film, try to do your best. Okay. Fine. What about in tefillin shel Rosh? What's the positioning of the tefillin shel Rosh? So here, you have to be careful that the tefillin are b'nei necha. So what does it mean, b'nei necha? So if you think b'nei necha means only from here to here, so your tefillin have to be like this big. The Mai says that's not true. So obviously, as long as the basic part of the tefillin are b'nei nayim, even though it's a little bit tilted off to the drop, that's still okay. It's totally off to the side, and half the tefillin on the other end of your head and the side of your face, that's still good, but it's a little bit off here and there, so the stomach, that's going to be okay. It's hard to believe that in the midbar they're walking around with a little tefillin mirror, so the stomach, that was okay. There were different opinions in the poskim whether one should look in a mirror or not, because the din is that a man's not really supposed to look in a mirror. So the Rishonim write that that's only true if it's something that the men generally don't do. It's a woman's kind of a thing, so the Gemara says that's called an Isra of Beged Isha for a man to look in a mirror. So the Rishonim say that, but the Derech HaElam is that men look in a mirror, so you're allowed to look in a mirror. So some poskim didn't like it anyway. Maybe the Chassidish poskim said, you shouldn't look in mirrors, you shouldn't look around with film mirrors, a terrible, terrible thing. And then others say, what are you talking about? You look in mirrors all the time. So if you look in mirrors to shave in the morning, so you can look in a mirror to make sure that you're... don't shave the boy. That's the mirror. Shave. So then they're allowed to look in the mirror for the tefillin as well. Yeah, you have to drive yourself nuts for it. So you got to take 20 minutes to make sure it's tefillin is exactly. That's not necessary. Take a quick look and see and show that that's good. The one has to be careful that the tefillin are not too low, because the Gemara says that even though it says Bein Ha'inayim, but Tashma Pei explains to us that means a Machom Saros. Because it says the words Bein Ha'inayim by, like Tefillin says the word Bein Ha'inayim by Korach HaBereshim, and Yisro plucked that hair and he had for a mace. The Gemara says that Bein Ha'inayim, like Tefillin, has seen the Machom when the hair grows. So when a person doesn't have any hair anymore, you have to try to make a cheshbon where the hair used to grow. So the bottom of the Tefillin shouldn't be beneath that point. So you have to always up a little bit. If your person's tefillin are very, very, very high up, that's also a potential problem. It shouldn't be past the point of mokom shetirach reifes. The Gemara says that if you look at a little baby, so you'll see that the way a baby's skull is formed, so the two plates of the skull are not fully connected, but you can see the baby's pulse. If you look at the baby's head, you can see the pulse there a little bit. So it's very soft, so you don't want to play with that part. You don't want to like press into that part of the baby's head. I think, to the best of my knowledge, my other Marshall made it that way because the baby's brain still has to grow. So it's going to be locked in with a, it's going to be totally locked in and won't be able to expand a little bit. I think that's the reason why. Anyway, so the shear is that the tefillin have to be somewhere between where the hair begins to grow and somewhere in the back where Admokoshit Kirchenro phase. So here also, if you have normal sized tefillin, it'll be okay. If you have these tremendous men of tefillin, you may have some. When you're a little kid, you may have some trouble trying to maneuver it there properly. One has to be careful that the kesher shel tefillin is supposed to be mechuvan kenegad bein ha'inayim as well. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. They have to make sure that the tefillin is straight. The straight over here and the straight in the back as well. And the kesher should not be too far down. If the kesher is all the way hanging down your back, that's not right. It has to be in the rosh. It has to be on the part of every bottom of your head. So it should be, preferably, you should try to stick the kesher, it should be right at the very base of the skull, so right at the bone, right at the end over here. That's where the kesher should be sitting on. The entire kesher should be before the hair stops growing. So a person still has hair coming down. This part here I still have. A person still has hair over here, so the kesher definitely can be until this point. So it should be somewhere at the base of the kesher, should be at the very bony part. And kind of protrude that a little bit, that's okay. All right? Good. All right, so now at least we know what we're supposed to, where it's supposed to be placed. There's a major discussion in Yerushalayim about is there a problem of chatzitza when it comes to tefillin. You know that some areas of halacha there's a disqualification of a chatzitza. Tzeduchos tefillin b'mikvah, there's a problem of chatzitza that most discussions about. And it tells lulav chatzitza, shofar chatzitza. A lot of mitzvahs have potential issues of chatzitza. You know, tefillin, one of those mitzvahs. That was a big machlokes in the Rashba and the Rosh. The Rosh claims that there's a big, big problem of chatzitzas, both by tefillin shel yad as well as by tefillin shel rosh. And the Rosh says it's similar to the din of big dikahuna. The same way the Torah says, al basaro, you have to wear big dikahuna on your skin. The Gemara says in the second paragraph of Zvachim, you can't have a dover chaitzetz between the begodim, between your arm, between your body. So the same is true of shatim osa yadecha, that tefillin also are subject to the din of chatzitza. Even though it doesn't say the word al vis-a-vis tefillin shel rosh, the Rosh seems to assume that al applies to both. The Rosh is right from the Gemara's that there really is a psul of chatzitza. So according to the Rosh, you can't just dump a tefillin on your shirt. You can't put tefillin on. Some guys got a shetel or something on the toupee, so you can't put a top of yarmulke. You can't put tefillin on top of anything that's davar chaytzeitz. Bein b'shul yad, bein b'shul rosh. And the Rashba disputes. Rashba's lohiyot v'mayelum. There is no such halacha that chatzitza passes. No Gemara that says that it passes whatsoever. The only thing is, the Rashba says that sometimes you run into other problems by chatzitzas. Let's say if a person has his shirt, and he puts his shirt on, and then he puts his tefillin on top of the shirt, and the tefillin are now exposed to the world. So the Rashba says that's going to be a problem of l'chol os lo lecherem lios. That the Gemara says that the tefillin is not supposed to be visible to everybody else. So the problem is, the Gemara says beferish that that's not exactly true. Is that what it means? The Gemara says that l'chol os lo lecherem lios means that you should wear your tefillin in the upper part of the arm, that's basically hidden. It shouldn't be exposed on the bottom. The Gemara says there really is no requirement to cover your tefillin. Let's say a guy's not wearing a shirt. He rolls up a shirt, please, like we do, put a tefillin on her arm, and then the tefillin are totally exposed. The Gemara says that's okay. There are more rights, that's perfectly okay. Some achrayim say, l'chadchili should have them covered up. Maybe, yeah, maybe no. But there is no psul b'chol yos l'chem yos to that extent. So it's a hard rashba to understand. The rashba says that if the tefillin are on top of a shirt sleeve, that's going to be a problem. That's what the book of Avraham says. According to the rashba, if you put a jacket on top of the shirt sleeve, that's okay. So according to the Rosh, if you have it filled on top of your shirt sleeve, you're not yetzi because it's chatzitza. According to the Rosh, but there's no chison or chatzitza, it's just that it's lechol lechem yos. So the Magen Avraham says, good, so just take a jacket, take a talis, and throw it on top of the tefillin, and that'll solve the problem. So it's hard to understand that whole Rosh, but the whole thing is hard to understand. But tefillin shel Rosh, so the Rosh says there's no problem at all. You can put tefillin shel Rosh on top of a yarmulke, on top of a toupee or something. The only thing is that it has to fit, it has to be stuck on. If you have something very, very clutzy, the guy's got a big hat, the guy has a strimal, and he puts his foot on top of a strimal, so it's not going to fit, it's not going to be ukshayatam. Ukshayatam means it has to be mehuda. We don't follow Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Rabbeinu Eliyahu says you have to mamish tie the kesher every day. That far we don't go, but it has to be tied on. If you have your tefillin floating around, they're just moving all over the place, so that's not called munach m'mkayimah. So sometimes you'll have a problem. That's what the Rashba says, but it's a very, very thin kind of a layer where that wouldn't be a problem. So then within this machlekes in the Rashba and the Rosh, so then the further shaila is this whole machlekes is only talking about legabi the bias, what about legabi the ritzuas? So let's say the bias is okay, it's clean, no chatzitzas, but you have a chatzitza down the arm and another part, further down the arm, and the ritzuas are not directly on the body. That's a further shaila. So how do we pass in this whole story? So we pass it's a little bit of a fake at the dinah. We're not 100% sure. So therefore we tell people, you really should not put on tefillin with chatzitzas. Try whatever you can to avoid chatzitzas in tefillin. So the person's mamish stuck. It happens very often. The guy's got a bandage, something on his head. So we'll say, okay, put the tefillin on. If you're able to, it's not medically dangerous. So put the tefillin on anyway. Without a bracha, since we're not sure whether you really yaitz if it's on top of a bandage, so we tell the chachila to put it on. Well, let's say like the Magen Avraham, if you have a bandage or something on your arm, so we'll tell you put the tefillin on and then throw something else on top of it and put it on without a bracha. If the chatzitza is only by the ritzuas, so the Mishnah Berurah pasuk is like this: if it's on the ritzuas, the part that's really necessary, like I'm going to have to tie the kesher and I got a bandage on the bottom, that's going to be a problem. But if all the way down here, what's the big deal? This is the Balta Machiv anyway. So you put on the Shel Rosh, make a bracha, put it on, go 1, 2, 3 times, and then the rest, go over the cast or something. So people might smuchal yonkiv, lift the cast, so they have to put the tefillin over the cast, that's okay. As long as the basic bias, the basic beginnings of the rituas, keep as long as the bias stays in place, the Yikra didn't really like it that way. The same is true by the Shel Rosh, that if there's a chatzitza on the bias, or the chatzitza mamish around the part that's necessary, which is the ritzuah, to keep it around your head, so we'll tell you to put the tefillin on anyway, it'll be without a bracha.
What about midnight? Does that exist by tefillin? Like if I took off, if I'm wearing a leather shirt, made of cow leather.
Do I know?
Min b'mino?
I don't know, it's complicated. There's a very, very mechudosh tikkun chumra that we don't really accept the halacha. There was someone wanted to argue that even though the Mishnah says when it comes to chatzitza by mikvah, so davar lach is not a chatzitza. So if a person has some liquidy stuff on them, they go into the mikvah, so we assume that the Mishnah says that it's not a chatzitza. They look like, so why? When? But there's such a basic halacha. Some wanted to say that the din of chatzitza by tefillin may be more chamur, because by tefillin there's a din, according to the Rosh, you need al basoro. So when you're dealing with chatzitza, so it's not a separation between double lach. On the other hand, it's not a key with al basoro either. The raya from a mishnah, yuma, chagadja, by bevikti kahuna. The whole thing is there's a shver chumra. If you would hold like that chumra, if you'd unbelievable chumra, say a guy just took a shower, comes out of the shower, his head is all wet, and he puts his tefillin on. So it's not a good idea to do that, because if you do it enough times, the moisture is going to get it and potentially ruin the tefillin. So you shouldn't do that. Unless you don't have any hair, then it's okay, because you just dry your head with a towel and shove it. If you haven't got a good kazunta hair, head of hair, so it's going to be hard to dry it very well. But so some poskim had this chumra that if your hair is wet, you can't put on tefillin. Or if you just sweat, just play basketball before davening, you can't put on tefillin because the sweat is a chatzitza. The Pashup Shas is not true. The Pashup Shas is the whole chumra. It's the whole chumra. There's no such thing. That's the simple pshat in halacha. So again, one should try to be careful to make sure there's no real dvar mechatzim before putting on tefillin. Okay? All right, so I think we spoke a little bit about just the makom hanoch in terms of the shayad and shorosh and some of the potential problems that could come up. So maybe we'll stop for now, and then we'll try to remember that. So the next time when we start again, so we have to talk still a little bit about who is chayiv in tefillin, and what's the zman of tefillin, and the brachos of tefillin. So we have like two associates, give or take, about tefillin, and then we'll move into what I wanted to do. The next topic for next semester will be, we'll talk about Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaShach a little bit, and then we'll move into Kriyas Shma and Tefillah. That's going to be our goal for the rest of the zman. So remind me where we left off, okay? Fair enough?
Yeah. Are we the closest to tefillin?